And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
Hey, gang, what's happening?
At DFF underscore Madman and Shane Manila.
Why do you always call us your partners? Like, I feel like we're in a non-monogamous homosexual relationship, which, again, there's nothing wrong with any of that. It's just that we're not. Like, we're all three.
So what do you want me to call you?
I mean, fairly hetero guys. Like, we're all married to women, at least. So, but it's just funny. It's always like, here are my partners.
Okay, so
Shane and Jeremy, he's been my lover since 1973, and this is our new lover we took on last year.
Oh, my God.
It's funny to me.
Which one's the new one and which one's the old one?
I don't know. I feel old, so it's probably me.
So, and that's Shane Manila at DFF underscore Shane.
Oh, yeah, I'm DFF underscore Shane.
Oh, man. So we have a big show with a great guest tonight. We have Jim Day here from FFChamps.com.
Awesome.
He's going to be our guest. Before we bring him in, though, we do have a little bit of news brought to you by RotoSurance.com. Go put in our code DynastyTradesHQ in all caps and get your discount. Shane, you said you had some fun news.
Okay, well, I got a couple stories that I found fun. at least I thought they were fun. So, well, maybe not for them so much, but EJ Manuel has retired.
I didn't expect that.
Didn't expect it because I didn't know he hadn't retired.
I was going to say, I didn't know he was still in. What team was he on?
I don't know. His Roto World blurb had like a blank helmet.
Not the Bills.
So yeah, not the Bills. He was, and this is just to give you a little reminder sometimes of what happens to some of these rookie prospects. Although I think everyone knew he was a terrible pick right there back then.
Yeah.
But he was the 16th overall player selected in the 2013 NFL draft.
He was one of those ones like, in 2013. So that would be six. Yeah, that was like the first year our league was doing rookie drafts in our league. And that was one of those ones that nobody even wanted to touch him, you know, but, oh, it's a rookie draft. You got to grab rookies. And so people still did take EJ Manuel, but nobody wanted him even back then.
No, nobody wanted him at all.
Mm-hmm. Everyone seemed to know he was like a very long shot to make it.
There was that.
So bye, EJ.
Bye, EJ. You take care of yourself. Probably made many, many millions of dollars. So good for him.
Yeah, and anybody still has him on their roster in a contract league, you could freely cut him since he's retired now.
There you go.
Without a cap hit.
Save yourself some cap space. this is actually pretty cool. Mike Tyson was claimed by the Packers off waivers. So if you were wondering if the champ still got it, he does. And then I actually scrolled down a little lower, and it's not that Mike Tyson, apparently. It's a defensive back, and the picture did not look anything like Mike Tyson. Face tattoo. But it would have been really cool if it was that Mike Tyson. Like, yeah, thanks, it's the offseason. Just do it. Just be like, you know what? We're going to pick up Mike Tyson.
That Why would not? Be awesome.
Cut him immediately Tyson. The next day, right? I don't know. That's what I mean, because you saw, or you might not even notice, but Tampa Bay picked up Kerwin Williams a few days ago, and they've already cut him. So just do that with any players. Like, I'd pick up Jim Tomey.
Yeah,
I'd call him up and be like, "Hey, welcome to the team, Jim." And then I'd have to call him the next day, like, "Hey, Jim, really sorry, this isn't going to work out." Just be befuddled, like, I don't even understand what happened.
Is that like creating clickbait so people will click on your thing?
Basically, yeah. And then in the only real news that isn't really rumors is Doug Baldwin was released by Seattle.
We expected that. We talked about that on this show before and thought it was a big time bummer that was happening, obviously. But yeah, I mean, I wasn't surprised. I tried to move him and didn't draft him. Yeah, it's a sad day.
Let me ask you something, though. As a commissioner of one of my leagues, someone texted me saying, can I freely drop him without taking the cap hit? And I was like, well, no, because he hasn't retired. He was released. He hasn't retired. But do you think he's going to go somewhere else? Is he going to end up on a different team?
No, he was texting today.
Oh, he was with you?
Yeah,
he was, you were texting with him?
Yeah, with Shane. They're tight, man.
Or tweeting. One of the two. I forget what it was, to be honest with you. He was tweeting.
How were you getting his texts?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Doug Baldwin was not not texting me. Although I will say this, we do know an ex pro sports figure.
Yes.
And in the one league we play in together, someone was trying to sell Doug Baldwin. So I texted him and I said, hey, can you call his agent and find out if he's going to retire?
Oh, that's awesome.
He shut me down completely.
Like, except he probably did it for himself, though.
The text hadn't even all the way gone through and it already came back. No.
But you gave him a good idea, though.
But. So that leaves 100, and Doug Baldwin averaged 100, and I actually wrote down the number somewhere, and if I scroll up, I can probably find them. Averaged 115 targets a year the three seasons prior to 2018 because he was hurt and missed a lot of games. But in 2015, 16, and 17, averaged 115 targets. So that's a lot of – that's a big matzo ball sitting out there for Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, and – I believe he's the slot receiver of the show, Gary Jennings, right?
Well, what exactly is his problem? That can he come back from it? Can he? Can a team get him? Well, I know he's old, but I'm just saying.
I mean, he had sports hernia surgery. He had like knee surgeries. He had like shoulder surgeries. Like the dude just got beat to shit. I mean, because he's not a burner. He was the type of dude that was fighting for yak and things like that, and just playing all out. Right. You know, at some point your body can only take so much, you know, and it seems like his body's just said, yeah, that's it, that's all we got in you, kid. He was a great receiver. Someone asked on Facebook if it was just a regular poll, like, is he a Hall of Famer? He's definitely not a Hall of Famer, but no. He was a very good receiver for a few years there.
Yeah, it is always interesting to see which guys, as soon as they're done with the NFL, which ones really are eligible. Everybody thinks their favorite guy is, and then when you look at all the numbers, you realize not really.
But just for fantasy, man, Gary Jennings, David Moore, forgot about David Moore, Tyler Lockett, obviously, maybe some DK, but I mean, that really validates Tyler Lockett. That offense, they threw the ball. And this isn't the first place you've heard that, but they threw the ball less than they ran last year by some ridiculous percentage. Like, they are due for some regression towards the mean. So there's going to be targets to be had in there. And the Doug Baldwin had 22% target share over the last two seasons. So someone's got to take those targets.
Do you think it affects Russell Wilson?
No, Russell's a fucking stud. He's got that giant monster DK Metcalf that just, you know, he's just going to scramble around. And if he can't find anyone else, like, fuck it. Let me just throw it up to this guy who makes circus catches and see what he can do with it.
All right. Well, we have Jim waiting on the line. So why don't we hear from the Scouting Academy and then we'll bring Jim in. But before we get to the Scouting Academy, Shane, why don't you tell everybody about our Patreon account?
Oh, well, first of all, we have a Patreon account. I don't know if that would be first of all, because you already said that. But if you go on patreon.com and look up Dynasty Trades HQ, all one word, because we are illiterate, you can see our account on there. We've got a few different tiers. They're all awesome. I'd suggest you go start at the Finn dollar one. That's $5 to old people, because we used to call $5 a Finn back in the day. Yeah. You get an extra podcast every week for that. Jeremy, did you know that?
I did it, but that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. You get the uncensored version of this show too. Did you know that?
Yes, of course.
You didn't know that.
Oh, well, you get know the five was called a Finn. I'll be honest.
Yeah, that might be a Philly thing. I don't know. Kind of like John. So we got the GroupMe chat. That John is lit all the time. Oh man,
the GroupMe chat is amazing.
Roster drafts, whatever you call those things, drafts. There's written content. That's more hit or miss, but definitely always the podcast, extra podcast every week. Every week you get that uncensored show, and it actually comes out before the free one for whatever. I'm just saying. So if you love the show, you somewhat like me, you especially like Sipes, you really like Madman, go become a patron.
I'll tell you this too, with that GroupMe chat, you know, we're in a lot of chats on DMs, on Twitter, and in all these leagues, but with the GroupMe chat, there is no, it seems like there's no time of the day that you can't go in there and say something, and then somebody responds right away. You know, dude, it's like, there's always somebody there.
I try to tune into that every once, well, you know, throughout the day, I can't keep up on it like Shane does, but I try to tune in, and I'll see something, and I'll be like, I'd like to respond, it's like 3 hours ago. They're going to be like, what the hell are you talking about,
man? With 50 messages in between where you saw it, because everybody jumps all over it. So yeah, that GroupMe chat is worth it.
If you're not a patron, that means you don't really like the show all that much. So if you actually like the show, become a patron. Appreciate it. Put a lot of hard work into the show, a lot of hard work into the patron stuff. So come see me.
Awesome. Yeah, we love our patrons. And so let's hear from the Scouting Academy, and then we'll bring in Jim Day.
NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com.
So yeah, go sign up for Scouting Academies, jump on the site and get yourself a discount. Well worth it. Yep, get a discount. Discount!
Oh, speaking of discount, I used to hate those discount double check Aaron Rodgers stuff. And then did you see he ruined Game of Thrones for us last night?
Yeah.
He was a guest. He was one of the soldiers.
He got blown his ass up.
Yeah. And then I'm like, are you serious? Now I get freaking Aaron Rodgers in Game of Thrones too, on top of those stupid commercials.
Discount Belichick.
Actually, that voice you hear is Jim Day. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I look forward to talking to all three of you. We chat a lot on Twitter. We've never actually talked before, so it's nice.
I actually talked to Jim a lot on Facebook.
On Facebook, yeah. That's
right. Which is funny, because I was going to, and I don't want to trash all of Facebook, but there's less sophisticated players on Facebook. Jim is definitely not one of those. I mean, it's not all Facebook. I just want to say that now. But, you know, maybe because it's infinitely larger than Twitter, if you actually think about it, which might have something.
It really is, yeah.
Yeah. But Jim's always on there, man. Jim, I love, I forget which page is yours, the name of it?
Just Fantasy Talk.
Yeah, there you go. That was hard to remember, so you can see why I'd forget that.
Yeah, it's on the show sheet, Fantasy Football Talk. It's got 2,300 members, which is pretty good for Facebook groups, man.
Yeah, and it's funny for those of you who don't know, Jim is the co-director and senior fantasy analyst for FFChamps.com. And when you talk about speaking with him, Jeremy and I have been speaking with him a lot over the last week, because the three of us are in Dynasty Degenerates 2, and we're in the middle of a startup draft right now.
Oh, well, I wasn't invited to that league.
Sorry, man.
Not our league. Don't blame us.
Yeah. All right. Exactly. So how do you like that league? How are you doing in that draft, Jim?
I like this draft. You know, any kind of league that takes people out of their comfort zone when drafting is fun for me. Mm-hmm. I don't like people who just be able to use cookie cutter cheat sheets and be able to draft. I hate those kind of drafts. Any league I've ever developed has gone so far away from that kind of mentality that, you know, I look for something different, and this league is different. The scoring is definitely bumped for, you know, quarterbacks and tight ends. The fact that, you know, you only have to start one player at each of the skill positions besides the quarterback is, that's a nice touch. You can flex any which way you want. Really gives you a lot of different ways to address the draft, which to me makes it that much more interesting. And, you know, the good thing is we got a pretty good group of people in this draft and been very active. There's been a load of trades. you know, it's been really good so far. And you know, I think it's fun that you guys are all playing so hard for number two.
Nice. Yeah, it has been a good one. Yeah, I think I've done like five trades so far. I always like to move up and down all over the place in a startup draft. It's way more fun to me. I usually end up getting rid of all my picks for next year, just trying to move up and keep getting players. And it's funny what you said about the starting lineups. Yeah, when I looked at the rules, it says 1 of 9, 1 of 9, and 1 of 9. So I guess it's not specified exactly. He just opened it all the way to the cap. So I guess you only have to start one of every position. Then you can start as much of any other position.
Yeah, anywhere else you want.
So people's lineups or people's rosters will definitely look way different compared to somebody else's roster, you know?
Yeah, it makes sense to go for the best scorers regardless of need. I know a lot of people do draft for need, especially as the draft gets going. But I find it funny that you guys have traded so much. Usually I trade a little bit, sometimes a lot. But this draft, I haven't traded at all. I just and part of it's because I had the 102 and got Saquon Barkley, and I wasn't able to trade that pick quickly enough, and so which is fine. I'm fine with Barkley. I wanted to do something differently and draft from a little lower in the first round, so it changed my whole start of this. But I haven't had time to really look into it and trade. And also, I think another component is that I've had so many rookie drafts, and all at the same time after the NFL draft, I had startups, like 10 things going at once. I just finally decided I'm just going to sit back and take what falls in my lap and enjoy this one a little differently. And it seems like every time I'm on the clock, I'm in a work meeting or something's going on, and I'm looking at my phone, I'm like, it figures, you know, it's Mother's Day and I'm on the clock at the, you know, cooking dinner, whatever. But yeah, you guys are, I looked at your rosters and you both have built some pretty good teams. You definitely do have looks like a winning roster there, Taz. I'm not going to say I like it better than mine, but you do have some players that I really covet. So.
Yeah, I found it pretty interesting so far. And again, I love the flexibility of it. You know, I got a lot of good young running backs and I'm going to need one or two of them to hit, but I like my chances with a couple of them. And, you know, that's the good thing. Everybody can build their own rosters separately, you know, go strong at tight end or go strong at wide receiver. You know, you don't have to do it in any which way. And that's how I like it. If you guys would have seen some of the leagues I've created over the years, you would mm-hmm. understand.
Yeah, you know, it's funny with that league too. Like Jeremy just said, he's in a lot of rookie drafts. Most of these startups that we've done over the last couple of months, obviously, you have the rookie 101, 102, 103 in the draft. This was the first startup that I've done so far, and obviously because the real draft happened, that rookies were already in this draft. So the first time somebody took, like, Josh Jacobs, I was like, oh, I didn't realize there was rookies in here. For you, Jim, we spent months and months talking about these rookies that we didn't really care that much about this rookie class. And then the NFL draft happened, and then people are starting to like some of these players more and more. It seems like one or two of them is always that 1, 2, or 3, and then everything else is all over the place. So have you liked any of these rookies better now that we're doing a startup draft, or do you still have the same feelings for your guys?
Yeah, there's a lot of these rookies I like, and most of it, look, like you were saying, coming in before the draft, a couple of months before the draft, all everybody was saying is how the skill positions outside of tight end in this draft were mediocre. They were okay, but there wasn't any standout players and, you know, all of that. There were guys that were really dependent on where they landed, what kind of opportunity they were going to get. And that's what we're seeing in the rookie drafts, is which guys landed in a place that they're going to get the best shot. I mean, Mecole Hardman isn't anywhere close to being my favorite wide receiver in this group coming into the draft. But he landed in Kansas City. I'm not saying he's going to be the next Tyreek Hill, but the opportunity is huge, and people are jumping on it. When you have such a good offense that you want to get any piece of it you can, and you're trying to get that lightning in a bottle with Hardman. It's just simple. Same thing with Paris Campbell landing in Indy. You know, these guys aren't the best wide receivers, but some of the best wide receivers landed in the worst freaking spots.
Yeah, Marquise exactly.
Brown is a guy I like. Freaking Baltimore. Are you kidding me? He's not going to be on any of my teams. I am not a Lamar Jackson fan. Never have been. Never will be. Sorry, folks. He's a hell of a runner. He should be a damn running back. You know, things like that. A.J. Brown. Now, I love A.J. Brown. He was my number one wide receiver coming into the draft. I just think everything he does is well. And the fact that he lands in Tennessee has given me a little bit, you know, pull back a little bit on him. But luckily, that's actually worked in my favor because I've gotten him in the middle of the second round and even a couple of times a little later than because people are worried about him being in Tennessee. And I'll take that value.
Yeah, that's the guy that really dropped for me that I keep just astounded that I'm getting him at the back end of you know, the first round when this time a month ago, I'm like, well, this guy, I don't know if it's going to be him or Harry. That's going to be my wide receiver one. And now he's just, and, you know, and same thing with the opposite direction with Campbell. I didn't know much about him and I didn't think I needed to. Like, you know, I'd read about him. I didn't really watch much tape. Yeah. I didn't, but he had one good season. He had good season. He's a late breakout age. So like the indicators are, well, he's not going to hit. But then he ends up in, you know, Indianapolis, and all of a sudden it's like, well, maybe that breakout age had more to do with the quarterback play before Haskins and blah blah blah.
And the guys in front of him too. They're loaded on that team.
It's funny too, where with all these drafts, they go all over the place. Cause in one of my rookie drafts, AJ Brown was in the first round. And then in another one, it was like the middle of the second. And I'm in an auction draft right now where there's players on the board that are going for 400, 300, 400. I put 150 down on AJ Brown and he slid right through on a 12-hour clock. Nobody even bid. And there's players that are getting bid on $400, $300. And I was like, I couldn't believe I got him for $150.
Yeah, the rookies.
You can't sleep
the place.
On AJ Brown, even in Tennessee. Look, there's a very good chance he has a whole new quarterback next year.
Yeah,
Mariota's on his last season. He may not even be there next year. I'll take the talent with AJ Brown and the possibility. And you know, I just did a FF Champs Invitational. I invited a bunch of people from the industry, Bob Harris, Joe Pisapia, Sigmund Bloom, a couple of them, and we just did a rookie draft, and I got AJ Brown with those guys at 205.
Oh man,
no kidding!
I couldn't be more happier. I was jumping up and down.
I was looking at that rookie mock, and there was a couple of big names in there that are friends of the show. There's Andy Singleton, Bob Lung, Bob Harris, and then guys that have never heard of the show, like Sigmund Bloom and Corey Parsons were actually in there too. But I do see that McCole Hardman went at 106, Sigmund Bloom. I mean, I know that's a good landing spot, but damn, that feels early to me. And now I know it's a mock. As much as we pretend, oh, no, I'm drafting this mock just like I would a real draft. I got a feeling that, and I don't know Sigmund, I'm wondering, would he really pull the trigger at 106 on or 106 on Hardman? That just seems special.
Hardman's going in the first round, though, in a lot of rookie drafts.
I've seen him the back end of the first.
If you want to take the chance on him, you got to take the chance on him, whatever your pick number is. You know that everybody get. Look, if you got the 101, you got to take whichever guy you think is your guy. It doesn't matter which one it is. ADP be damned.
Yeah,
you know, yep. It's as simple as that. He's not going to be there when you come back at the next round, so you got to take your guy there, whoever it is. And you know, too many people get caught up in ADP, and you know, it's a useful little tool to get an idea of where people are thinking value is. But every draft, as you guys know, you do enough drafts, every draft is different. Yep. You know, they are dynamic. They're not static. Everything changes every single draft, and that's why I draft as much as I can. Just because the one big thing that I always fall back on is that I never feel like anybody sniped me in a draft because there's always the next guy up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I mean, when you go into a live draft or something and you're using a queue, I usually have like 35 freaking players in my queue. I'm ready. I don't care what you throw at me. I'm going to go to the next guy who I want. And I think that really comes with more drafting. The more you draft, the more you get comfortable with not worrying about, oh, I didn't get this guy, or, oh, I have to go wide receiver this round. You know, it gives you so much more, I don't want to say knowledge, but just comfort, I would say, in knowing that you could just go with the flow and still make a good draft.
I just want to say, I think it's funny and it makes me feel better inside to know that you also do that thing where you queue up way too many people. Like I queue up enough people that I could probably just finish the draft off that queue, even though I don't want all those guys, but I'm still like, well, if this happens, I'm usually like 8 deep at each position.
It's funny. We never really talked about that, but I do the exact same thing with the MFL. You do that draft list. So I never look at that ADP list they have. I always have my draft list pulled up when it's time for me to draft, you know?
Well, speaking of drafts, Jim, how many have you done so far this year?
Actually, I just started my 38th and 39th tonight. Oh, wow. Now, this is incredible. Nothing. I'm usually at 100 by now, guys. I'm way behind.
Like real full leagues, not best ball, not anything like that.
No, a lot of them are best ball.
Oh, okay.
I mean, right. I did 174 leagues last year, and about 130 of them were best ball.
Oh, okay. All right.
I love to draft, so I'll just draft, you know, all the time. I just draft.
Cool.
But the thing I like about the MFL Draft Masters best balls is that, you know, you could just do them and then follow them all year and see how the guys advance. And, you know, I try to learn from different people what they try to do, what I try to do, and use it all to my advantage, hopefully, at some point. But, yeah, I love to draft. So I draft as often as I can. But I'll be honest. I mean, I'm going to probably end up with probably close to 60 or 65 full-fledged leagues by the time September rolls around.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, we got Jeremy and I don't know if Shane did, but I know Jeremy and I talked about at the beginning of the off season that we were cutting back on some of the leagues, and then somehow we've ended up in we've cut back on some, and then we ended up in new ones, and pretty much, Jeremy, we've ended up in the same new ones, you know.
A net gain of leagues for sure, like more than I had before I cut.
Yeah, and it's not like we even go out to it. We get an invitation. Hey, you want to be in this league? And I pop in there. I say, yeah. And then there's Jeremy. He's sitting in there too.
Same leagues, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get invited to any of these leagues. apparently no one likes me. They like you two.
You and Jeremy are in a bunch of leagues that I'm not in. So that's true.
But I did get invited to a couple sleeper on the sleeper app startup. So I've done a couple of those. I've done a couple of those.
I used it when it first came out. It was okay, but it had a few glitches. I haven't used it in a while. How do you guys like it?
It is, you know, coming from the world of MFL, it's different. It's not, well, obviously it's different, but you know, MFL almost feels intuitive. So it's like I'm untraining myself. But I think I've pretty much gotten the hang of it. I like it. I can't figure out how to turn off the notifications for the draft, which is driving me insane. Because, you know, each draft's like 30 rounds and I see every pick and I'm just like, don't care. But it's kind of nice that the chat and the draft and all of it's just self-contained all in one little app. I'll say the chat is much better than MFL's. Like MFL's just feels like you don't want to speak to each other in there for some reason.
I've used MFL pretty much since they started. I know those guys well, and you know, I've been their biggest promoter for years. But there's a couple of things I don't like about the site right now. It's like the live draft room is a little clunky.
Yeah.
Like you said, the chat isn't very good. You leave something there, 8 hours later, somebody might put something else. You know, it's just not there. But as far as running a league and all the different things you can do and how many different ways you can customize it, man, there's nothing even close for me. And I like customizing it, too. I like putting in graphics and things like that and just creating a new look for this league. And that aspect I've never seen anywhere else.
Yeah, whatever the commissioner wants to do, they pretty much can do. Not really limited. It's almost too good in that capacity. It's tough sometimes as a commissioner to work through all those things. But when you're in one of these leagues and someone else is doing that heavy lifting and having it all set up for you, it's easy to get on MFL and just draft. And even given those limitations you pointed out, it's just so easy to use. And, you know, go to the site on your phone. They definitely have the best thing out there overall.
There's still one feature that I wish they would do, like on MFL, especially with us having all these leagues on there, is like when you find somebody and you want to put them on your watch list, then you have to open up every single one of your leagues and put the same guy on your watch list. I wish there was a way to put it and they put them on the watch list on all the leagues, you know?
So what I do is I just keep a Google Note.
Oh, do you do it that
I
way?
Just keep Google Notes on guys like that. Like I'll just honestly like, usually though, if I'm picking a guy up or if he's on my watch list, our leagues are so deep that there is no watch list. I'm picking the guy up. You know what I mean? Like, all right, Chris Conley's probably not going to break out this year, so let me just go pick up this running back. And you know what? While I'm at it, let me see if he's available. Yeah, he's available in 86 other leagues. I might as well go pick him up there, too. I do wish they had the function I could just add all.
Yeah, that would know? Be cool too. Yeah. The one thing that I have with Sleeper still, because I was like, Jim, like I did it once in the beginning, but I've never gone back to it. However, I still have alerts on my phone, and it seems to me that I get like news alerts from them sometimes quicker than it shows up on Twitter. You know, like I'll see an announcement about a player, and then I'll go, oh, really? And then I go to Twitter, and it's still not there yet. And then all of a sudden, it starts showing up. So they're pretty good. Yeah, they're pretty good with their news announcements.
I'll say this.
Sleeper and MFL merged and became one giant thing. Man, that would be like the marriage.
I was listening to Matt Kelly's podcast last week, and he was talking about Sleeper, and he thinks that it might overtake MFL and Dynasty soon. And I don't know if it'll do it soon, but I got a feeling it will, just because we're a mobile world, and it's geared towards.
Well, you guys are.
Yeah.
Well, yourselves. My phone. It talks. And it texts. It don't do anything else.
I wish people could see the visual of Jim holding his phone up in his comfy chair.
I say one thing all the time. I never feel as stupid as when I'm holding my smartphone. Never.
I'm right there with you on that.
I told this story on the show before, though, but like, there's been times where I'm so not used to actually using my phone as a phone that I've been speaking to people on it and go, hold on, let me go find my phone.
Yeah. I was with him once when he did it, too. I was with him once when he did it. You know, and it's with MFL, that's another thing, I guess, when we were talking about stuff. They never, I guess it was their choice. Well, obviously it was their choice. They never made an app, right? It's all third-party apps that they have.
They were actually in the process of making the app when the guy who was working on the app actually passed away.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he was their main programmer. He did all of that stuff. And
they used to have him on the site.
Plan in place.
Oh, wow.
I always wondered who that was.
That really took him down. Kevin was a great guy and a friend of mine. And, you know, I mean, anytime I had an issue, I'd just go straight to him, which was nice. Don't have that option anymore.
Although I will say this, and I haven't tried it with Sleeper yet, but the MFL response is really fast. Like, you know, you get that automatic, like, oh, we'll get back to you in 24 hours. Like, usually there's been times where I've gotten the response from them before I've gotten that we'll get back to you in 24 hours email.
I've told that to people before because I commission on there for like about 7 years now, but they've always been great with customer service. They answer so quickly.
So basically what the three of us are saying, not Jim, I don't want to put him in this bucket, but whichever one wants to sponsor us, I think we like better.
That whole thing sounded like an ad for both for both products.
Yeah, I mean, because we're getting no kickback off this, so whichever reaches out to us first, it's pretty even, but we could be nudged either way. Yahoo, shit, whatever.
Not Yahoo. Well, no,
I can't play on Yahoo. I can't play on ESPN, CBS, NBC. NFL, I can't play on any of them sites anymore.
The greatest.
I did try an NFL.com one like 2 years ago because I was like, all right, let me see if it's improved since I last remember. And as soon as I got on it, I was like, fuck you, I'm leaving this.
You know, it just kills me that don't they have the button on the site now where, you know, the easy button. You just push the button and it just sets your lineup for you. Why the hell are you even playing?
Jim,
they need something.
We've talked about it before, about like back in the days of doing it back with pen and paper, and then you got to the internet and all this stuff. But I think the greatest transition was going from CBS to MFL, because CBS was horrible. And when somebody introduced me to MFL, I was like, oh my god, it's like the best thing ever, you know.
See, it I didn't is. Play on CBS because I was playing on a site called Ant Sports, A-N-T Sports, a little tiny site run by a guy that I actually came to know and worked for a while. And he ran leagues there that were pretty good. And, you know, you could pretty much get a league going any time of the day or night. There was always people around. So I never got to CBS. I played a couple of leagues on it that I got invited to, and I couldn't stand it. I've never been back since. Plus, they're so damn expensive.
Oh, yeah.
They're giving you the Taj Mahal. I'm like, get over it, guys.
It was like three times as much as MFL was when we moved from CBS to MFL.
Crazy. Yeah, I want you to talk about the Utter Chaos League you had mentioned to me with the scoring setup. So what can you tell us about that?
Okay, this is a league I started many years ago and then had to drop, you know, and had some issues. But I'm bringing it back this year. And basically, this league is, like I was saying before, off the charts different. First of all, it's full IDP, including breaking out defensive ends, defensive tackles, cornerbacks, and safeties. it's start two quarterbacks, one running back, four wide receivers, two tight ends, plenty of IDP players. I don't remember the exact composition off the top of my head. But you only start one running back. You can only roster three.
Oh, wow.
So it keeps running backs viable. But the biggest thing is the scoring is different for every position. And if you look at the top 50 players, every single position is in that top 50. Defensive tackles can score as much. The top defensive tackle can score as much as the top quarterback.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, in some IDP leagues. When I say we, I mean Mike and I are in some IDP leagues.
Right.
It's not my favorite thing, but I'm still in a few, and a couple of them we actually started, and we tried to keep scoring a little more balanced, a little more interesting on defense, which is hard to do. I mean,
it is hard to do.
I feel like I can almost stream at most positions and do better than the guys that I know are a known quantity. And, you know, you expect to do well, and I get really frustrated with it. But, Mike, what did we do to increase the scoring of linebackers and defensive tackles?
You know what's really – it's been a while. It's been a couple years since we started that. But I do know what we did was we had looked at a bunch of different leagues, and we picked and choose the ones that we thought made the most sense, and then combined the scorings on those. And we per position. We did make it so that it wasn't just a generic, oh, this is this player, this player, this player when it comes to IDP. I just clicked on the Utter Chaos link that you shared. I have actually never seen this before. When you go to the scoring section of it, he's right. Every single position has its own module, like rules for quarterback, rules for running back, rules for, like there isn't even a bunched up one. It's every one of them. That's pretty awesome.
To keep those players relevant, because like something that we've struggled with is the value of DTs, especially if it's just start one, you know, nobody drafts them.
Last pick of the draft at that point, who cares?
Exactly.
And the frustration, too, for me is over the years realizing that, well, everybody pretty much learns quickly that cornerbacks are easily replaced. There's so many of them, and you don't even have to really draft them. You can have a couple, maybe none, but consistently, and just stream that position. And the shitty ones are the ones to own a lot of times, the rookies, the guy. Right. I mean, well, it's not as practical as real football. You're not, whereas other positions, you're trying to get the best
players. This isn't real football. I don't want it to be real football. I want high scoring.
That's what I'm saying. How do you make cornerbacks more relevant? And, you know, where the good ones are the guys that are getting drafted. That's what I'm saying. Like, so that they're more sought after. And this is a way to do that. Positional scoring.
Yeah, and the problem with some of the leagues that we looked at the time, Jeremy, was that some people overcompensate for some of those positions, and then you've got like a DT.
Robbing Peter to pay Paul all over the place, and finally, you know, there's just too many moving parts.
Yeah, there's like a DT in the top five scoring of a league and stuff, you know?
Well, there's a DT in the top five in this league.
I like that because you should, and that's what I didn't like when I played IDP is that, you know, to me, a defensive tackle they're not going to get as many sacks.
Best in the league.
Right. They're useless. Like Fletcher Cox, up until the last few seasons, didn't get a lot of sacks. Then he just lost his mind because he wanted a new contract or whatever. He's a full-grown man now. But he was easily one of the best defensive tackles in the league, and I'd be like, oh, he gave me 0 points this week. And I'm like, because he got nothing.
Or 2 points.
And Jim, I see you're right. There's three DTs in the top 32 of this league. The one that I was mentioning that Jeremy and I looked at, there was like three in like the top 10. Like it was all, there was DTs all up there. But yeah, I see. It looks pretty balanced when you look at the top 32. There's players from every position here.
That's great. If you can get the best, literally the best players in the league that are really sought after players and they're scoring in the top like that, that would be an interesting thing for me. I mean, I might play IDP more often.
I love IDP.
The fun thing about this league is, you know, it takes total emphasis off the running backs. A lot of wide receivers get played. But the fact of the matter is, even the top running backs, you know, whoever was number one last year, Todd Gurley, it was a couple of years ago, but the number one running back didn't get drafted until like the ninth round.
Yeah. Even looking at this scoring, Ezekiel Elliott is number 32 point wise.
So number 32.
I'm looking at it right now. Ezekiel Elliott is 32.
I want, I want people to have to come out of their comfort zone when they draft. And the great thing about a league like this is that you can go in with any kind of draft strategy and make it work.
That's
what
awesome.
I'm trying to do when I create a league. I want it to be different. Go throw your cheat sheets away. They ain't going to help you here.
All the smart asses that draft the same way in every league, forget about it.
Yeah, right. So, and that's what I like to do. And, you know, this one's been a fun one. We've run it. We ran it for 10 straight years, and we had a blast.
Yeah, and the roster limitations, though, is something that a lot of leagues don't do. I see you even have, like, a limitation of only 2 to 3 quarterbacks even on your roster.
Well, you have to start 2, so, yeah, you can only keep 3.
That's neat. I like that.
Oh, and you even have kickers still, too.
Yeah, he's got everything.
I might do away with the kickers, though. That was from a couple years ago. I hate kickers.
Well, you say you can, it has to have one or two kickers.
I might do team kickers. Because then you don't have to worry about who's on that team. You just pick a kicker for a team.
Right. Yeah.
Because they interchange themselves so freaking off, it's a pain in the neck.
I like that idea. I've thought about that, too. Like, if I ever went back to those leagues where you have kickers, I would want it to be like people have postulated about team quarterback, like team running back, like team kicker, definitely, because you never know who's going to be kicking for the Chiefs or the, you know, the Steelers exactly. this year. Yeah.
It just seems
Chicago's got like 8 kickers on their team right now.
So that's pretty cool. So this is going to be starting up this year. You're reviving it.
Yeah, I'm bringing it back this year. Yeah.
And have you picked people that you want to do it with, or how are you doing
I'm
that
trying,
yet?
I'm just trying to make sure everything's copacetic and make sure I got every, every T crossed before I'm ready to open it up. But yeah, I'm definitely going to put it out there on Twitter when I'm ready to go, and we'll see. If you guys want to get in, just let me know. Like I said, I'll definitely put it out there because this is a fun league. It's totally different than any other league I've ever seen.
I'll tell you this. I would
do it just for the challenge. Sorry, Mike.
No, that's fine, Jeremy. I would do it just for the IDP. You know, we get a lot of invites doing this show from people like we were talking about with you. We're in a couple, but nobody ever, there's no IDP. Plus, Shane shits on IDP all the time. But just to add a new IDP league to my list, I would love to do that. And this one looks way different than anything I've ever done before.
See, that's funny because, I mean, IDP is how I made my bones, how I got started in this business was, you know, I started doing news for the site that, you know, I was at every day. At work, I was on the site all day. So I ended up doing news for them, and then they didn't have anybody to write IDP. And I said, okay, screw it. I'll start writing IDP. And that's how I got started. And, man, I was balls to the wall into IDP. Back in 2006, 2005, that's when I really got going with IDP. And I mean, in 2010, 2011, I probably had at least 60 full IDP leagues.
Wow. Yeah, I think I'm only in 13 leagues, but 7 of them are IDP. So I like the IDP ones better. Those are pretty interesting leagues. I like your setup.
Yeah.
I went to we bounced around a lot, and that's usually my fault. But
right.
Did we get Jim's wide receiver one?
Man, it's I really want to say it's really hard to get away from Harry. Being in the Patriots and the fact that they need him. It's really hard to get away from him in that opportunity.
Yeah.
I can't. I mean.
Same.
I just can't. I can't find anybody else I would take over him. There's a couple of wide receivers I think have more talent than him, but didn't land in any situation close to that. So, no, I have to go with Harry.
And what about running back?
Running back, you know, right now it's a two-headed monster for me with Josh Jacobs, David Montgomery. And the only thing that pushed Josh Jacobs up a little above Montgomery for me right now is the fact that I truly think he'll be a lot closer to a 3-down back. I like Montgomery a lot, but you're not going to sit Tariq Cohen. He's still going to get his, 8-10 touches a game and do what he does. Whereas I don't think Jacobs – they're not going to take Jacobs off the field a lot for Jalen Richard, even though he had a good year for them last year.
Yeah, you're
Jacobs,
right.
Jacobs, I think, gives them more. Plus, you know, when you're talking about having Antonio Brown on one side and Tyrell Williams on the other side, it's not like defenses are going to be able to fold in on that box.
What about quarterbacks? I mean, besides, obviously, Murray, do you like any of the other guys in there?
Actually, no. I really don't. I'm a Giants fan, and you know they got Jones, and we'll live with it. Whatever, it is what it is. But now, look again. Before the draft, you know, everybody was saying, you know, Murray is probably head and shoulders above the rest, but Josh Rosen would have been head and shoulders above all of them if it was the same year, you know. And probably, I'm kind of that feeling. I kind of like Josh Rosen. I think Miami pulled the coup of the draft by getting him the way they did, you know, even after trading down in the second to get a lower second to trade for him, I thought was brilliant on their part. I think this kid is good. He just got really into a bad situation. I'm not saying the situation right now in Miami is any better, but I expect it to get a little better. Last year in Arizona, I mean, just everything was bad. Offensive play calling was terrible. The offensive line was terrible. They just couldn't get out of their own way. So, you know, I think for me, Rosen is the guy. For me, as a Giants fan, I was really hoping the Giants would have gotten him. I wouldn't have had any problem with them using their 17th pick to get him. That's how much I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you and a lot of Giant fans would have been pretty good with that move. And part of what helped Miami, though, was just Arizona's complete incompetence with how they handled that.
I totally agree.
You make the pick, and then you're like, oh, wait, we still have this other guy. Yeah, we do need to do something with him, huh?
And then to come out and say, oh, yeah, I really wasn't talking to anybody before that point. That just shows how stupid you are, Mr. Kime.
It was funny even watching all the analysts and everything during the live draft talking about it, and then even the next day talking about it and the way it worked out. I'm down here in Florida. I thought it was great that they moved back. I thought, oh, great, they're not even going to try. And then they did it after moving back, which was pretty cool. I see in the FF Champs, the rookie mock you were discussing before, you took TJ Hockenson at 105. Is he your favorite tight end in this class?
Hockenson is my favorite offensive player in this class. He is that all around guy. And, you know, I'm not going to say he's a Gronk yet, but I think he's the one who got a very good chance to be that guy. He is just the guy that can do it all. He's an excellent blocker. I mean, just dynamite, just rolls people over. No problem at all. He's got great hands. He runs great routes. You know, he is the most NFL-ready player in this draft to me. And, you know, I know everybody's, oh, he landed in Detroit. Well, you know what? Detroit gave up an eighth pick to pick him up. That draft capital alone is going to make him part of that offensive game plan. And then his talent is going to take the rest. I love Hockenson this year. Everybody, you know, they can get on Fant all they like. And I like Fant. I think Fant's going to be a good tight end. But the fact that he's not a good blocker yet is going to affect him early in the season. I think, you know, the fact that he's probably going to have to be practicing across from Von Miller a lot in practice should help him get better.
Exactly.
It's either that or it's going to not work at all, and that's just going to kill him. But, I think he'll get better at it, and he's an excellent route runner and receiver as well. Coming into the draft, all I kept thinking is, New England had all the picks. Imagine if New England had worked their magic and come away with both of those guys.
Yeah, oh, man.
That'd be amazing, huh?
Oh, man.
Instead, they just came away with the number one wide receiver out of the class.
Did you think he was the number one coming into the draft?
Yeah, I was looking for reasons. Like I said, if A.J. Brown would have ended up in Indianapolis or with the Eagles, I would have slid him right up. Like, I was looking for any excuse to make A.J. Brown my one.
You loved A.J.
But with what happened in the draft, it was impossible to do that.
No, but I mean coming into the draft, before the draft.
Yeah.
Who was the number one? Harry, it was still Harry? Yeah,
I wanted it to be Brown, and I was looking for reasons for it to be Brown, but just couldn't get there.
I never wavered on Harry, man. In a lot of Devy leagues, he was my 101, and people are probably tired of me saying it, but the thing for me is he did not do anything in college to drop him down my board. He just didn't do it. Other players moved up and moved around, but he just never, there was no reason for me to move him down below anyone else because he just kept getting better.
Absolutely, yeah. I agree. And I'm not saying I don't like him. I'm just saying, again, that, you know, even the best of this class, you know, there's been other years where there have been multiple players better than this entire class.
More polished, more ready, more plug and play. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the I don't know how to use this word. Yeah, I do. Consensus. Yeah, this is the correct terminology here. The consensus 101 is Josh Jacobs. The guy has less than 1,000 yards of college production. I don't know when I've ever seen anything like that in a rookie draft. I mean, I've only been playing Dynasty, not only, but I've been playing Dynasty for either this is my fifth or sixth offseason, I forget. But either way, I haven't seen anything remotely similar to the Josh Jacobs thing, where it's pretty much consensus. He is the 101. I mean, Sanders might be for some guys and Montgomery for others, but
I can't get behind Sanders. I think Sanders is a good running back. Don't get me wrong. Again, I just hate the fact that he landed with Doug Peterson. You know, everybody says, oh, you know, maybe Doug will finally go to a three-down back now that he has a player that's good enough to do it. And yeah, no. The guy just doesn't play ball that way. He likes to use multiple backs. That's what he does. And because of that, that hurts him in my eyes. I mean, I think Montgomery's got a clear point, much clearer point to playing time, as does Josh Jacobs. And I wasn't worried about Crowell even before he got injured.
No one should have bought into Crowell. Jesus, he's burned enough people enough times where you're like, no, he's pretty cheap. I think he could be an RB1. You get him and you're like 200 yards rushing, and then you don't hear from him for 3 months.
The rest of the year.
But just real quick with the Sanders thing, trust me, they didn't want to run that. They had to. The best running back they've had during Peterson's time was probably Jay Jai. And you couldn't run that guy as much as you wanted to. Like, they were treating him with kid gloves. Like, he wasn't practiced during the week. The equity they spent on him, because I don't feel like saying draft capital anymore, but the equity they spent on him, it seems to me that they will use him, and I hope to God they do. Yeah, I can't deal with any more games with Wendell Smallwood getting 11 touches. I can't.
See, the other big issue I have with that is that they just got Jordan Howard. I know it's basically a one-year prove-it type of deal. I get that. But if it is only a one-year deal, put the boy out there. Let him run. Let him run. Run him to death. You're going to let him go at the end of the year anyway. Run him to death this year. And, you know, again, I think that's just going to kill Sanders' value this year. Going forward, it might be that guy in 2020 and 2021. But, man, I want that guy now.
But we talk about a lot of times when we're asking, like they ask you what's your number one wide receiver, your number one running back, your number one tight end. But with all these rookie drafts that are going around right now, some of these drafts go all the way into the fifth round. Are there any of these players that maybe that people aren't really talking about in these drafts that you like? Is there some like sleeper guy that people don't really think about that you're grabbing in the fourth round or anything like that?
Oh, always. There's always guys down there that I like a lot of, you know. You know, let's face it, Benny Snell is a guy that's going in the fourth round, Pittsburgh running back. Look, James Conner did well for them last year. Nothing, can't take anything away from him. He was actually better at it than Bell was. His numbers across the board all season until he got hurt were better than Bell's any time in Bell's career. I'm not saying he's a better running back, but in that system, he was putting up better numbers than Bell did. But, of course, he ran into the wall at the end of the season and just couldn't keep it going. Jalen Samuels behind him, you know, he's never going to be a three-down back, scat back. You know, we could easily see Benny Snell slide into this position if James Conner gets hurt. You know, and people are just
– And do well, too. And do
Everybody does well in that system, no doubt about it. Another one, Dexter Williams. In Green Bay, look, everybody's in love in the fantasy world with Aaron Jones, even though, you know, the coaches didn't like him. And, you know, you could never tell when he was going to do anything or not. You know, maybe they finally give him the chance this year. Maybe they do. And hopefully they do. I think he's a good running back. But, you know, Jamal Williams doesn't do anything for me. I don't know about you guys, but he's never done anything for me. I watched the man run and it's just like,
yeah, I know.
So what? I think Dexter Williams is another one of those guys that could just, you know, slide into a position if it's there. I'm not saying he's going to go out and just take it by the horns and run with it. But, man, talk about being one play away from being fantasy relevant. Dexter Williams fits that notch.
Have you had a chance to look at Darwin Thompson at all?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I like Darwin Thompson, another one. In the draft we're doing now, the degenerates, I drafted Damian Williams early because I like Damian Williams. I think he fits that offense well. But again, we've never seen him do a full season. We don't know if he can handle that kind of workload. So, you know, later on in the draft, I picked up Darnell Williams just in case. You know, if he's the one who ends up taking that job, which he could, he's that kind of back as well. You know, this is a dynasty league. I'm trying to cover my butt. This kid is another one who's got that kind of talent. And, you know, I think he's definitely somebody you got to pay attention to and go out and try and get.
When you speak of James Conner, that was actually one of the trades that Shane wanted to talk about for the show. He has a trade involving James Conner.
Well, this, you know, this kind of goes back to our whole, and I moved it off the sheet to the bottom, but this kind of gives us the context of things. So yesterday, I think I tweeted out, or I just mentioned to people like, hey, I traded James Conner for Odell Beckham Jr. And basically everybody's like, oh, you won that trade. I'm like, well, it's RB, heavy scoring. And no one asked. So I just looked at the scoring from last year. And I didn't do this yesterday. I made the trade, of course. But James Conner outscored him by, that's a lot of math.
It looks like 82.5
points last year. And so Conner's didn't play a full game. Well, neither of them played a full
game. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Beckham was out too. You know, the thing that scares me with Beckham is the fact that he has missed 16 games in the last 2 years. You know, that's half of the two seasons that he's missed. You know, I like Beckham. I do like a Beckham. But I'm kind of glad the Giants got rid of him for a couple of reasons. He is, you know, that guy who's going to stir up issues. And, you know, not so much in the locker room. They all say, you know, in the locker room they like him and stuff. But the fact that he goes on ESPN and does an interview without anybody knowing, with Lil Wayne next to him, are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah, speaking of mine,
I can't stand Lil Wayne. I think he's an idiot.
You know, it's funny.
Real
quick aside, me and my nephew used to make fun of each other and be like, oh, you're a Lil Wayne fan. You're a Lil Wayne fan. And then the Lil Wayne, and I actually like him.
You would.
So
I grew up with real rap in New York, and this stuff they're doing today just doesn't cut it.
I'm old, too. You know, I didn't grow up with the 80s rap. Well, not most of it, at least. But you know what I mean? Like, yeah, Run DMC and all that stuff, Eric B and Rakim. But I still like some of the new stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm having a hard time with it. It's just, I don't know.
So,
so that being said, you know, all I kept thinking about is, you know, he causes the issue. He threw Eli under the bus, and I get that. As a Giants fan, Eli's always been very frustrating to me because one week he looks like an ultimate superstar, like nothing. Everything's right where it has to be every single pass. The very next week, yeah, I got no clue how you do this. I just tried this way, and well, maybe that way. And just like, what the hell? It's like Jekyll and Hyde every single freaking week with him. But if you bring in a rookie quarterback and he starts with Odell Beckham and does poorly, you're probably looking at Odell Beckham tearing that kid down. And who does that help? Definitely doesn't help the organization. This kid that you just invested heavily in getting ripped apart by this prima donna wide receiver. You know, it just, I don't like those kind of players. I don't like them. They're just,
go away. It's kind of funny. It's always, it seems like it's mostly wide receivers. It reminds me, and this goes back and dates me, but it reminds me of when, what's that?
Or cornerbacks.
Yeah, cornerbacks or wide receivers. It reminds me of when they were on point for sure. The lead singer disease, where Eddie Van Halen would talk about lead singers having this lead singer disease, where they're prima donnas and need to be, you know, always the center of attention, which makes sense. They're singing on stage, but that's exactly what wide receivers and cornerbacks have turned into. All these other guys and other positions, you know, tend to keep their mouths shut a little bit more, and these little guys are out there always running their mouths. And it doesn't have to make the show. I find it funny because, like, you know, I wonder what the other guys on the team, on these NFL teams, think of these big mouth guys, you know?
Well, one thing I want to say to wrap this whole show up, it actually goes into a complete circle. Speaking about Odell Beckham Jr. right now, Jim, the number 1.01 pick in the Dynasty Degenerates draft that we took was Odell Beckham Jr. And a lot of people were all commenting, Jeremy's shaking his head. Everybody was commenting in the group chat and all that kind of stuff that's the 1.01. What did you think about that?
I thought it was idiotic.
okay.
I was shocked.
We were all shocked.
I mean, if he hadn't missed 16 games in the last 2 years, okay, maybe I could see it. You like your guy, you go get him. We talked about that earlier, but I don't know. I can't do that. With all the trading that was going, they could have made some kind of trades, moved back, and still got their guy and got more picks.
Yeah, the next four picks were all the running backs that everybody expected to go. And then I see you got Baker Mayfield with your pick. So,
yeah, I like Baker right now. Yeah, I'm having a hard time not putting him as my number one dynasty quarterback over Mahomes. And that's only because of, you know, if they lose Hill, if they truly lose Hill forever, it's going to take them a while to make that back up. It's not coming right back. And as much as I like Mahomes and I like, you know, Kelsey, you know, Sammy Watkins going to be your number one for how many games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're going to bring Kelvin Benjamin back off the cobwebs and say, come on, Kelvin, come back and play with us. I just don't see it. And I'm getting really close to making that transition.
I laughed because Shane was like, put his fists up in the air dancing. Oh, yeah. That's why I was laughing.
I don't do rankings because basically I don't want to have to update them all the goddamn time. I'm going to do them once a year and be like, look, if shit happens, shit happens. But Baker, I did say that's my quarterback one, and I got eviscerated in a few places. No one came at me personally, but they're just, I put it on Reddit and things like that.
It just means people are reading.
And that was also 2 months ago, too. A lot of people have come around since you did that.
Well, I'm a prophet.
We said he was up there, with Mahomes after Odell Beckham Jr., but Shane was just like, as soon as the trade was made, that quarterback won.
It was pretty funny. And I remember that show doing that. So, Jim, thank you so much for coming on the show and everything. Would you like to promote some stuff to the listeners?
Hey, guys, just come over and check us out at FF Champs. We're still trying to fix some technical issues on the website. I'm not a tech guy, never have been. That's not what I do. So I'm trying to get the tech guys to take care of a few things. But, we're putting up a lot of interesting articles. The good thing about Champs is we got a couple of really good in-season useful tools that people seem to love. One is the player index that basically every week details, basically lays out who you should play, over anybody else each and every week. There's another one where it's a draft tracker where you put in your league before the draft, and it'll give you, directions on basically who you should pick next based on what everybody else has already taken and what they still need. And it does it automatically for you. So we got a few really good tools on the back end, and I'm really looking forward to playing with and getting rolling here soon.
Awesome. What about on Twitter? Where can they find you on Twitter?
Oh, they can always find me on Twitter at FantasyTaz. And if you're on Facebook and you want to come join us on Fantasy Football Talk, come join us. I mean, we got a great group over there, and we keep everything civil and everybody laughs at that, but that's one of the things.
I know what you mean.
I've always been a guy that liked forums. Back in the day, forums were the big thing.
Yeah.
And you go into a forum and you get somebody who's new and they ask an easy question and everybody jumps on them. You know what? We were all there once.
Yeah.
I hate that. I'm just not a big fan of that. You know what? We were all there once, and I remember asking people those questions. They get crap about it. And I just don't like that thing. So that's one of the things I do. I mean, keep it civil. We can have all the conversations you want. Don't keep it civil. You're going bye-bye.
Yeah, girls, you're out.
I'm on Jim's Facebook site, and he's an awesome moderator on there. I don't know how much time he spends on there, but he comments a lot, posts a lot. He lets you post. Well, not you, but me. He lets me post our podcast there. Like he's saying, I've never had an issue on that page where someone's come at me like, this sucks and you suck, why don't you die? Where, you've basically, if anyone's ever been on Reddit, you've gotten that specific comment.
Yeah.
And if there are some Facebook forums where even those you go on to, and some of the people are just, they don't bring anything to the table, and they're just kind of like, oh, blah, 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 blah.
Trolls.
Like Jim said, there's guys everywhere that, they don't know. It's their first time playing, maybe, and they're looking for someone to learn from. And hey, here's a room full of 2,000 people. So that's a pretty awesome thing to have.
Speaking of that, how do they find that on Facebook? How would somebody find
just
that?
Just do a search for Fantasy Football Talk. Should come right up. If not, they could just search Jim Day or Fantasy Taz. I should come up. They can ask me directly. Should be no problem.
That's awesome. Well, thank you very much, Jim. We really appreciate you coming on, and we hope to have you back during the season. And Jeremy and I, we can all talk about the league and if we're playing each other or something.
Yeah,
sounds
thanks a lot, man.
Guys, just send me an invite. I'm always available.
All right, cool.
Yeah, appreciate you, man. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Thanks very much.
Talk to you later, Jim.
Think you're going
to
do in this league either.
Thanks a lot,
Jim.
You have
some studly quarterbacks. We'll see you out there.
We'll find out. Later, guys.
So, hey, Jim, that was a great guest. Jim was an awesome guy, you know, so and that was cool that he came on and told us some of this stuff. Where
he told us things. Jim did tell us a lot of things and stuff.
Yes, and stuff. And I know right after he hung up, Shane, you said you had a last minute trade you wanted to mention. Why don't you mention that before we wrap this all up?
No, I really didn't. It wasn't a big deal. It was a minor trade. Devi League that myself and Mr. Madman are in together. I traded the...
Jeremy jumped when you said it.
I traded the Devi 502 for Jake Fromm. And do you want to know the only reason I even made the trade was because I was too goddamn lazy to open up the Devi watch and see who was still available. I didn't feel like cross-referencing it. So I was so happy when Katie sent me the offer. Like, I'm like, I know Jake Fromm. I've heard of him. I will accept this trade.
Because I mean, honestly, just said that the same thing happened to me in the same league. I think it was the same league. Well, anyways, it was a Devi draft, and I've been drafting so much, and I just got tired of, like, at the end of one, and there were the last two picks, and a guy just happened to random. I get on the clock, and he randomly just sends out Miles Boykin for my last two picks. And I'm like, you know what? Whatever. He's got a better shot at than the two guys I'm going to draft. So hell yeah.
That is hilarious.
We have like 100 and something Devi players rostered in that league. Something like that.
Yeah, there's a cap, right? You can only
is a cap because, you know, Katie, excellent commissioner. Or I don't even know if she's the commissioner, whatever, but she keeps sending out she does send out the notices like, hey, Devies are done. Like, there's only two Devi spots left.
Yeah, she volunteered to do some of the Devi work because it's a pretty heavy league, you know, a lot of heavy lifting. So she volunteered for that, which was cool.
There sure is a lot of work.
I did not feel like looking up, like, whatever Devi player was ranked, like, 380th. I was just like, oh, God, please someone send me anything. As soon as you sent it, I'm just like, accept.
That's cool.
And Shane Swagger sent me a trade later, and I didn't feel like looking up the rookies, so I accepted. It was even later pick. It was like 5'11", and I don't even remember who he sent me, but it was someone decent that I was like, eh, why not?
That's so funny. So
but we don't advocate what we call that hashtag lazy trading, and that's what that would fall under. Never make lazy trades.
I don't think it's too bad when it comes to Devi. I mean, shit, you're talking about the fifth round of a Devi thing. So well, listen, that was a great show tonight. We hope you guys enjoyed it. Hey, go check out our iTunes, give us a rate and review at Dynasty Trades HQ, all one word, on iTunes. And check out our store.
What? Real quick,
what?
Last I looked, we were at 98 reviews. We need two more. We hit that magical 100 number, and someone's getting a free t-shirt, whatever t-shirt they want, as long as it's, you know, related to us, from the Dynasty HQ store Envy.
They're gonna win, and they're gonna pick a shirt from somebody else. So yeah, go over to the store at dthq.storeenvy.com, order shirts, leggings, hats, underwear. Whatever you guys want, underwear. And we really appreciate you guys listening. Check us out on Twitter at Dynasty Trades HQ, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Maybe
word.
We'll see.
What do you mean maybe? Goodbye.
Yeah, I feel.